Chapter 9. Propel the Immortal Soul to Birth. The Hermetic Gnosis indicates very clearly that we cannot expect any liberation of our natural figure. We live in a nature of death, and as nature-born entities, we are one with it. Therefore, the entire natural figure is subjected to death. As a natural phenomenon, we have emanated from a sad darkness that preceded all dialectics. This is nothing new for pupils of the modern Gnosis. Because of everything the modern spiritual school teaches on this subject, they are deeply convinced of the fact. Yet it is important that the Arch-Gnosis confirms all this. It is also significant that Pimander, in his dissertation, points out once more the twofold state of human existence. It cannot be said too often, and you cannot bring it home to yourself too much, that the man to whom the universal doctrine and the holy language refer is an entirely different being than the bodily figure, which in general, and quite erroneously, is taken to be man. We are beings of duality. Within us, the true man who is imprisoned in his natural figure yearns for liberation. If you think of this daily, you will do yourself a great service. Pimander points to another possible mistake in current ideas. The Father of all things does not exist in life and light, but is life and light. When something is made out of life and light, it implies a divided state of being, a limitation. So there is always a possibility that because of a functional disturbance, a complete void or an extremely violated being would result. However, when is said that the Father of all things is life and light, this points to imperishability, indestructibility, to the omnipresence. The true man, imprisoned in the natural figure, is not made of life and light, but is life and light. He is God. That is why Jesus, the Lord, could truly say, "The Father and I are one." In the Bible it is said to the nature-born man, that is, to us, "The kingdom of God, the divine man, is within you." Many a pupil hearing about the path and the new liberating state of life shows astonishment and even disbelief, or, in other words, lack of faith in himself, which is expressed in the fatal thought that I will never attain. They have, in fact, become pupils too soon. Their astonishment or disbelief proves that because of a lack of life experience, they have not yet discovered the hidden kingdom within themselves. That is why they are not yet able to handle the key to the liberating life. Whoever is not yet able, out of a profound knowledge of experience, to believe in himself, therefore often loses faith in the spiritual school. In this state, such a person will easily come to enmity, as can be proved from the history of the school and that of the entire human race. Think, for instance, of the Bible. When Jesus the Lord, as a hermetically conscious man, testifies, "I and the Father are one," the theologians of his day thought he was blaspheming or that he was mad, calling him a fool. When the Parfaits among the Cathars demonstrated by their state of life the secret of the hidden kingdom, the priesthood of their days, which could not compete with anything comparable, was furious and deliberated on their death. A problem arises in Hermes, which undoubtedly is also your problem.
"Tell me," Hermes asks Pimander, "how shall I enter into the life of the hidden kingdom?" Pimander replies,
"Let man, who possesses the spirit soul, recognize himself," implying that man, who possesses the spirit soul, knows himself because of it. But, Hermes reacts, "have not all men the spirit soul?" Whereupon the answer comes, "take care of what you say. For I, Pimander, the spirit soul, come to those who are holy and good, pure and merciful to the devout. My presence becomes a help to them, so that they immediately recognize everything." Just imagine that through experience, beaten and kicked by life, you have become conscious of the hidden kingdom within you and of its tremendous possibilities, that in the dramatic course, through the nature of death, with the consequences caused by the division of the sexes in different states of existence in the microcosm, the developing consciousness has matured to a certainty whereby you have completely accepted the possession of the hidden kingdom. In such a state, the problem arises in which millions are sighing and millions more have been deceived about the way the inner kingdom must be freed, the way in which the true man can live, the way in which the hidden kingdom can be entered. In the course of life, millions of people have discovered such a hidden kingdom, and this is exactly why they have been deceived, because with the discovery they also imagine that they already live from this kingdom, have already entered it. Suppose you have a rose of the heart speaking strongly within you. Assume it lives in your heart sanctuary and that consequently the gnosis touches you in the blood, in every fiber of your being, so that you know it is true what the school of the Golden Rosicross proclaims. It may happen that from that moment on you think you have already entered the kingdom. This is a cardinal mistake, for when you, a nature-born man, become conscious of the hidden kingdom, the process has only begun. The error is explicable but at the same time fatal. For what are you doing? You are engaged in cherishing, in meditating upon this kingdom with the consciousness of your nature-born I, and you purr with self-complacency like a cat, you tick like an alarm clock, full as you are of mystical tension. You talk about it for hours on end with your friends. You have made a great discovery, and now you are just chattering along. It is not even normal talking you are doing in such a situation. In essence, nothing new has been born in you, nothing has as yet happened in you. You are only staring at the picture of the hidden kingdom, the existence of which you have become conscious. And there you are, babbling and fussing. We express a hard truth here, but you must dare to face it. That is why we discuss Hermes Pimander with you. To experience the inner kingdom does not mean to possess it. Whoever does not yet possess it will easily bring himself to urge the true man into a still greater captivity, for that is what happens. The natural I will live, shine, glimmer, and laugh on account of the game you are playing of having already succeeded, of having already completely conquered. However, the nature-born man has nothing to conquer in this respect. He must decrease, and the heavenly other one must increase. If man persists in this error, he is sure to go the occult or the mystical way. This is the great mistake of all those who, on the first discovery of the hidden kingdom, are of the opinion that they already possess it. What then is the secret of success? Well, you must face the fact that, after having reached that glorious experience, you must first of all proceed to realization, to the birth of the soul and the spirit soul, as Hermes calls it. If you discover the kingdom within you, it should be given a dwelling place. That is what it is all about. Therefore, if we keep talking about it in the school and leave the philosophical aspect aside for a while and tell you, build the soul, you must not think we are preaching. This requirement of the path is essential, is absolutely necessary, and Pimander testifies of it. After having come to knowledge through experience, you have to proceed to realization, to construction, to the birth of the soul. You do not possess a soul in the sense of the gnosis as a matter of course. That is the great mistake of innumerable people. When we meet in our consecrated working places and a pure, serene understanding arises, then the first task will be to propel the soul to birth. For the man who possesses the soul is able to exist out of light and life, is able to free God, the Pimander, in him. Although you have active fluids in your nature-born system that inspire it and keep it vital, these fluids are extracted from the nature of death. However, the immortal soul and its Pimandric consciousness, the glorious new state of life, come only to the holy, the good, the pure, and charitable, to those who live a truly devout life. These things do not come by chance. They must be captured from resisting nature. That is why the modern gnosis never ceases to testify of this necessity and to explain to its pupils how the entire being has to be purified and sanctified by eyelessness so that the soul will be born and propelled to maturity. Growth of the soul ends in Pimanda, in the formation of the focus between soul and spirit. Then Pimanda is a help to the candidate. You should see the greatness of it. The Pimandric consciousness will be a great aid to you so that you will immediately recognize and know everything and pray to the Father in a deed of love. In this deed of love, the candidate directs himself to all those who are still imprisoned in the natural birth. Before he surrenders the body to death, he despises all the senses of the dialectical figure. Because, Pimanda says, their activities are only too well known to him. When the soul has been born, the soul power takes the lead in conquering all links with the earth, its actions and consequences. On account of our wrong conceptions, we always distort the facts. If, at a given moment, a certain trait of character troubles us, we fight against it and so vivify the law of dialectics, rising, shining, and fading. Today we think everything is all right, and tomorrow it is wrong again. Therefore, to arrive at real purification of life, you first have to build the soul. The soul power will then carry you through all difficulties. Everything in your life is changed by soul quality. You will discover that everything you worried about and that caused you such trouble gradually leaves you. That is why it is said very decidedly in verse 59. Yet I, the spirit soul, the new state of the soul, will certainly not allow the activities of the body that attack them to practice their influence upon them. For as the guardian of the doors, I shall refuse admittance to evil and shameful deeds and cut off unholy imaginings. What are evil and shameful deeds? Regarding this, you should part with the usual moral conviction, for the evil and shameful deeds do not relate to ordinary life, although perversity is certainly a wickedness. For the seriously striving pupil on the path, what is meant here are the always disastrous consequences in the respiration field of jealousy, passion, hatred, slander, criticism, conflict, and similar evils. Further, in verse 60, it is accentuated in what type of man the soul will never be born, consequently, to whom Pimanda will never be able to talk. Yet I keep myself far from the foolish, the bad, the corrupt, the envious, the covetous, the murderers, and the ungodly. I leave them to the avenging demon who, by belaboring such people with the scourge of fire, drives this into their senses and through this equips them for further unholy deeds, so that an ever greater punishment is executed upon them. The desire of these people is continually seeking greater satisfaction, causing them to rage in darkness without there being anything that can satiate them. In this exists their torment, and through this the flame that scorches them blazes ever higher.